Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. We are back. I hope everyone had a happy holidays and are having a even better start to the new year 2020. I am Sebastian Merrick. It is a pleasure to be back. 3 weeks. Too long indeed. But we are back. We are ready to go. Excited for this new year. I'm rejuvenated. And you know what the best part about the new year is? The Baltimore Ravens are going to go down soon, and that's going to be a beautiful thing. It is a pleasure to be back. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. So much that happened over, let alone last week and over the 3 weeks. We're going to do our very best to recapture those things that happened from the past time we had our recording. We're going to get started, though, with the NFL playoffs. What a week. Wild card weekend. Absolutely phenomenal. Let's get started with the first of the four. That would be the Houston Texans knocking off the Buffalo Bills 22-19 in overtime. Kamie Fairbairn for the Texans, a game-winning 28-yard field goal. You got to give Houston a lot of credit. So Houston down 16-0. Bill O'Brien, once again, nothing new for him trailing at the half. But Deshaun Watson continues to make Deshaun Watson plays. Absolutely phenomenal quarterbacking by him. He got Hopkins involved. He had the run game going as of late. Carlos Hyde kind of turned it up a little bit in the second half. Obviously, the play of the game, Deshaun Watson spinning out of a couple tackles. Lorenzo Alexander had him, spun out of another guy, made his way down the field, and what a throw that was. It was just an absolutely typical Deshaun Watson performance. Really. It was just beautiful. A beautiful Deshaun Watson game. He continues to be the heart and soul of the Houston Texans. And J.J. Watt coming back. An incredible performance for them. Buffalo had it in their hands, up 16-0. Josh Allen playing lights out. He just couldn't hold on to that. And it was, I was rooting for Buffalo. I'm not going to lie. I was definitely rooting for Buffalo 100% on that game. It was just a phenomenal game to watch. It's sad that one of those two teams had to go home. Both teams are very capable of making noise in the playoffs. And you got to give Houston credit, like I said. The Buffalo Bills defense kind of came up short as toward the end, and that's what they were riding. They're pretty much riding the defense. And it was absolutely a difficult ending for Buffalo. They had many, many chances. So did Houston, in fact. Many chances. Josh Allen taking the sack late on in that game, pushing him out. It was just a very difficult evening for the Buffalo Bills. And you got to give Houston credit, like I said. It will be very interesting to see how they fare against Kansas City. We will get to that. Buffalo, great season. Sean McDermott has built the foundation for a sustainable amount of winning. Not just a one-and-done fluke season, but they have the program where they can sustain winning. They have the pieces, Josh Allen, Singletary, an extremely young back that they have. They have system wide receivers that fit what Josh Allen is looking for. Cole Beasley, John Brown. Tight end, Dawson Knox came on strong as of late. Another nice young player. Defense, Tre'Davious White, one of the best corners in the National Football League. Tremaine Edmonds, phenomenal. Ed Oliver, first round pick. A great performance, an absolutely great performance for the Bills this season. They came up short against Houston, no doubt. But it's sad one of those teams had to go home. It really is. It is sad and heartbreaking. Another takeaway I had in this game, had to be Captain Obvious, is how bad is Booger McFarland commentating? Booger. Booger McFarland. You know, Josh Allen throws to John Brown for a 16-yard touchdown early in the game. Oh, well, that means they score 6 points, Joe. Great color commentary, Booger. Now, but back to the point. Great season for Buffalo. Houston, I'm still a little worried about their defense. They showed up in the second half, and they are going to have to play 60 minutes. If they do not play 60 minutes, they will lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. They have to play a full 60-minute game, no doubt about it. If they can't do that, they will not be successful. Can they do so? You will find out in pick-ems. That's the way to tease a pick-em. All right, off to the second of our four games, the New England Patriots. Dynasty over, question mark? They are upset at home to the Tennessee Titans, 20-13. The New England Patriots' first home playoff loss since the 2012 AFC Championship game. Whew. Wow. I can't believe it. I never thought the day would come where Tom Brady not only wouldn't even be in the AFC Championship game, he wouldn't even be in the divisional playoff round. That is remarkable. That is absolutely remarkable. And kudos to the Tennessee Titans. Mike Vrabel is that dude. He is that dude. No doubt about it. He has completely changed the Titans culture. Talk about a program built for sustained winning. The Tennessee Titans have what it takes. Doesn't matter who quarterbacks them, in my opinion. Really doesn't. Tannehill's been good. No doubt about it. As long as Derrick Henry's there, they are built for sustained winning. They just are. They have a defense that is probably the most underrated defense in the National Football League. No one talks about how good the Tennessee Titans defense is. They consistently hold teams under 20 points. Consistently. Tom Brady could not get anything going against the Tennessee Titans defense. And you got to wonder, is this the end? Is this the end for Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels, and the trio together? For Josh McDaniels, I think it is. I think he gets the Cleveland job. For Brady and Belichick. Belichick, I think no. I think he stays. Now, the question is Tom Brady leaving? I can't see him in another uniform. I just can't. But the storyline of him playing for another team, wow. Wow, would that be enticing. Vegas released their odds, in fact, on the favorite for Tom Brady. And believe it or not, I can't believe I'm saying this, the Cleveland Browns are the odds-on favorite if he leaves New England to sign Tom Brady at 11-2. Then you have the Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, each at 6-1. The Dallas Cowboys at 7-1. The Indianapolis Colts at 8-1. And the Buccaneers at 9-1. Not going to read the full list, but you get the point. 11-2 is the favorite odds. It's not that big odds at all. Tom Brady's going to stay in New England. I think he will stay put, and I do not think the dynasty is over. Not yet. They are going to be extremely motivated. Extremely motivated to revenge the whole entire NFL. To avenge. Not revenge. Avenge. It's the new year for me, getting the rust off. But the Patriots are not going anywhere. You might think they are done. No. No, 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 no. They will be A-OK. As long as Brady and Belichick are there, they will be just fine. To the Titans, go up to Baltimore boy, how lovely would that be to see the Tennessee Titans in the Baltimore Ravens season? My only objective in this NFL playoffs is to see the Baltimore Ravens lose. I don't care that the Baltimore Ravens are the local team. I can't stand their fan base. It would be a beautiful thing. It'd be a beautiful thing for the 9-7 Tennessee Titans to knock them off. Dreams. That's dreams, King. You can't even come up with a better dream than that. Oh, Baltimore, you better win. All the pressure's on you guys. Tennessee, I think, has had a phenomenal year. It will be difficult to see them go up in Baltimore and win. And I say that because of the high that they had in beating the Patriots. It's hard to recover from that. It's the same reason why I'm a little concerned about the Vikings. I'll get into the Vikings in a moment from beating the Saints. But when you win a clutch playoff game, as clutch of a playoff game as they won, it is extremely difficult to reconcentrate and keep your focus for the next one. The next one in Baltimore is going to be harder than the one in New England. And I just can't see the Titans doing it. Maybe they can if they play a full 60. Full 60 minutes. But I just don't see it. They're too inconsistent on offense. You know the Ravens are going to put up points. When's the last time they haven't put up points with Lamar Jackson? They're just too good. They're just too good, the Ravens. And I hate to say it. I hate to say it. With every fiber of my body. Every little fiber of my body hates the Baltimore Ravens. Hates them. But, gotta be fair. They are the favorites. They are the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. And I do think they will beat the Tennessee Titans. Great win for Tennessee against New England. Great, great win. Probably the biggest win in franchise history, to be honest with you. Congratulations, but it will end in Baltimore. All right, to what I thought was the game of the round, and every game was a phenomenal game, no doubt. But I thought the game of the week took place in New Orleans, where the Minnesota Vikings get their first playoff overtime win in franchise history, knocking off the New Orleans Saints 26-20 in a game that really no one saw coming. No one saw coming. A stunning result. The Saints, three playoff heartbreaks in a row. Gotta feel for Saints fans. They've been through so much. And the Saints, 13-3, can't stop scoring points. Lose to Kirk Cousins in the playoffs. Football. That's the NFL for you. That is the National Football League for you in a nutshell. You could not find one person outside the Minnesota Vikings organization who thought that they would beat the Saints. Not one person. It is the upset among upsets. And the reason is Kirk Cousins, for the first time in the history of Kirk Cousins, was clutch. I never thought the day would come. Just like how I never thought the Patriots wouldn't be in the divisional playoff round. Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins led the Vikings to a game-winning drive in overtime. Kirk Cousins. The guy who's 0-9 on Monday Night Football. The guy who can't win a game against teams over 500. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up in the National Football League. The National Football League will humble you. The National Football League will humble you. Kirk Cousins rolls up into New Orleans and beats the Saints. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. New Orleans had chances too. Will Lutz missing that 43-yard field goal at the end of half. A humongous miss. Drew Brees with the fumble. Dalvin Cook having the fumble coming back. Obviously, he was down as well. And now I'm going to get into the part where I know there's going to be disagreement. The game-winning touchdown by Kirk Cousins to Kyle Rudolph. There is a debate out there whether that should be offensive pass interference. A lot of people are saying no. You can't let the game be decided by that. So that is not offensive pass interference. I got news for you guys. That was offensive pass interference. As much as you hate to see a game decided like that, that was offensive pass interference by Kyle Rudolph. Dissecting the play, Kirk Cousins throws a jump ball to Kyle Rudolph. Rudolph, in the left corner, uses his right arm as the ball is in the air to give a nice little shove in the back. And now joining us here on the Benchwarmers Redemption Live, his debut appearance is one of the disgusting, nauseating Ravens fans out there who can't shut the bleep up. Kelly Irvin, longtime Raven fan, joining us here on the Benchwarmers Redemption. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. It's been a great day. I'm happy to be here.
I'm sure you are you leading the flock of disgusting, nauseating fans. I just wanted to make sure because they hear about the bad side. I wanted to be fair to Raven fans. I wanted to bring on one of their own disgusting human beings that are just ugh. That's not the point. Where we left off, Kelly, we were talking about the Saints Vikings. First off, before we get into pass interference, you know it's holiday season, it's a Christmas miracle when Kirk Cousins leads a clutch drive. You know that's when it's Christmas season, all right. But do you think that was pass interference? I was explaining to the audience, Kirk Cousins, as he throws the ball up in the air, Kyle Rudolph uses his right hand to create not that big of separation. But a little bit of separation, and that had an impact on the play. It allowed the space for him to come up and heave the touchdown. Now, I've already gotten complaints about this from people listening. Like, no way is that pass interference. What do you think? Am I wrong here?
All right, and the way you just explained it is definitely pass interference. Like, him pushing him or putting his hand on him in any way, leading to him getting the catch is clearly pass interference.
That's what I was saying. If you hinder, you don't give the defender a chance to make a play on the ball. That's something that obviously that's the only thing you can do as a defender is just try to have a chance to make a play on the ball. And let's not act like Kyle Rudolph and compared to that corner is a big size difference already. What's the need to even push off, Kyle? You're 6'4", 280 or something. I don't even know. But the size difference, you don't even need to push off there. I mean, it is what it is. it's heartbreaking for Drew Brees.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so angry to see him go down like that. I worry for the Saints that this might be it. And I worry because Panthers hired Matt Rhule as their new head coach. Matt Rhule's won everywhere he's gone. The Falcons turned it up as of late. Bruce Arians at the Tampa Bay. Now, they didn't, obviously, 7-9 is nothing to be celebrating, throwing a parade about. But for Tampa Bay, where they were, progress. The NFC's getting better. It felt like this was the opportunity for the Saints to get that one and final edge in the Super Bowl, and they just couldn't get it done at all.
I was so angry at the end of the game. Like, I wanted so much for Breeze this year.
I know you wanted to see him face Mark Ingram, or Lamar to face Mark Ingram in the Super Bowl, but it won't happen that way, unfortunately. Vikings, they go up to San Francisco. That'll be the debut of the four in the divisional round. I was explaining to the audience this. Coming off a big win, a win that no one expects.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person outside of Minnesota thought the Vikings would beat the Saints. To have that big of a win, that high of an emotion, and to come back on a short week now and regain your focus to play an even better 49er team that has the best defense in the NFL, that does not lose at home. Is Kirk Cousins going to have back-to-back clutch wins?
No, I can't. Christmas. I can't see Cousins pulling it through.
That's why I'm saying it's just, it's not there for me for Minnesota. It was a great win, but it's just not enough to see them pull through against San Francisco. I think it will end there as well. We'll get to the final game now of the wild card round. The Seattle Seahawks beating the Philadelphia Eagles. They're the NFC version of the Ravens in terms of fan bases. Disgusting, nauseating human beings. Can't stand Eagle fans. They won't shut up as well. You guys are home, and I'm happy about it. They lose 17-9. DK Metcalf, by the way, stud. 160 yards. Did some research on DK Metcalf. That is the Seattle Seahawks postseason rookie record.
That's crazy.
For DK Metcalf receiving. Research. Got to do some research here. Make sure your audience is informed. But DK Metcalf, Russell Wilson, 17-9. I was a little disappointed now because Carson Wentz goes down.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles already aren't that good to begin with. It felt like they should have won that game a little more comfortably, in my opinion. Now, Josh McCown. I'll always have love for Josh McCown being a former Brown. It's just not – they have nobody. They had no weapons on offense. I mean, Zach Ertz was pretty much playing – I mean, what he had a split kidney or something. So Ertz played with two non-displaced rib fractures, a rib cartilage fracture, and a kidney injury. Man. That's crazy. And Dallas Goedert, I mean, Boston Scott, the new Hall of Famer, Boston Scott, Miles Sanders got hurt. Now he came back. He was by far their best offensive weapon because Ertz, I mean, obviously Ertz is amazing, but when you have that many injuries at once, not going to do much. Greg Ward, the new Hall of Famer here. I mean, they just don't have anything. I mean, Josh McCown. Now, he had two fumbles, didn't lose either of them, but it was not a good day for the Eagles. But I think with the lack of weapons on offense and the Eagles' secondary being heavily flawed, I expected the Seahawks to put up more than 17, but it did not happen. Now, if they play like that against the Packers, are they even going to have a chance?
No.
In Lambeau? I mean, you first off, going to likely be snow at Lambeau. Negative degrees. Now, if any team can equip that, Seattle, with the climate that's up in Seattle that changes every day, they need to run the ball with more efficiency. Now, I know Beast Mode got it in the end zone, but I'm not convinced about their run game now. Beast Mode's pretty much a third and short back. Their running game was atrocious. Travis Homer, 11 carries, 12 yards. Beast Mode, 6 carries, 7 yards.
The whole game?
The whole game. So, they're not going to beat the Packers that way. They're not going to beat any team remaining in the playoffs that way. They need to get the run game going. The passing game for Wilson was phenomenal. Obviously, DK Metcalf had himself a day. Tyler Lockett, 4 catches, 62. David Moore had a couple in there. Hollister helps them with the short option, allowing a little bit of checkdowns here and there. But it's not looking good for Seattle, in my opinion. Go up to Green Bay, play like that, they're going to get trounced. They're going to get absolutely trounced in Lambeau. And I don't see them doing that, really. I don't see them beating the Packers. Now, I'm kind of giving away my pick'em segment as I speak, but at the same time, if they play like this, they're not going to. But if anyone can cover flaws, the real MVP of the National Football League, Russell Wilson. Dispute that, please. Dispute that.
Dispute Russ being the...
The MVP. I know your boy Lamar. I mean, he has all the rushing records, but you want to talk about someone who has... And I'm not here to blast Lamar. I want to make that very clear. I'm not here to blast Lamar. I just love Russell Wilson that much. Russell Wilson is that dude. Like, he is different. He's different. And I know Lamar's great. He set records. But this is how I view the most valuable player award. I view it not as who is the most valuable. You take this player off your team and replace them with like a replacement level player. How many wins will they lose? I think you take Lamar off and replace him with RG3. They go from 14 wins to 10. I think you take Russell Wilson off. Geno Smith is their backup quarterback. You put Geno Smith in there, or just any replacement level guy. They go from 11 wins to 5.
All right. I definitely disagree.
Why?
If you take Lamar off and start RG3, I think we go from 14 wins to like 7.
Seven.
At best. RG3 is terrible.
How about a replacement level guy? How about like a Case Keenum level or an Alex Smith level?
I'd take McSorley over RG3.
Oh.
McSorley's not good, but I like the way he throws. I do.
So what do you not like about RG3?
He's just not good. Like, I feel like if RG3
What about
started,
him's not good? Throwing?
He can't throw.
Has he lost explosiveness?
He's definitely lost explosiveness. I mean, he can still scramble a little bit, but, like, that's about all. He's just
He just beat the Steelers, though.
He did. You see what I'm saying? But that's more of a, like, a team thing. You see what I'm
saying? Do
you
think Geno Smith and the Seahawks could beat the Steelers?
You got me there.
Come on, man.
You got me there.
No, I'm telling you, Russell Wilson is the real MVP. I'm sick of... All this nonsense that Lamar, you should have checked out my show a couple months ago. I went on this, like, I even had some profanity. This Lamar Jackson, like, the dude. Let me do this for you. I'm gonna do this for you. Lamar Jackson. They play the Titans obviously this week. His rushing numbers are phenomenal. I have his throwing numbers for you. Throwing. Last time I checked, quarterbacks have to be able to throw the ball. Lamar Jackson's throwing numbers. If you notice, there's a trend. There's a nice trend. And the good news, the trend is not a good trend. All right? Here is the trend. Week 1, 324 against the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Eliminate that. Arizona, 272. Chiefs, 267. Cleveland, 247. We're going down. We're still going down. Pittsburgh, 161. We're going way down now. Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Bengals don't count. They're a practice squad team, but for the sake of it, 236. They don't count. The Seahawks, 143.
Mm-hmm.
New England, 163. All right? Cincinnati, once again, a practice squad team. Does not count, but for the sake of it, 223. Should be throwing for more yards against Cincinnati than that, in my opinion. Houston, 222. The Rams, I mean, talk about, that was the breakout game, the game of the season. 169 throwing yards. San Francisco, 105. Buffalo, 145. The Jets, 212. And the Browns, who suck, 238. And that's your MVP?
But notice about your trends. Soon as the numbers started dropping, what started happening to the Ravens?
Wins.
Wins.
No doubt about it.
The Ravens have always been a running team rather than a throwing team. So we started to lean on what's better, our running game. Look at our running backs.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards. I love Gus Edwards.
He's my favorite running back on the Ravens. He runs like a grown man. He's the way I like to see running backs run the ball.
Justice Hill, phenomenal young back as well. Got him late. I mean, and I will give this to Lamar. His throwing weapons, and I think they designed this on purpose. His weapons, outside of Mark Andrews, yikes. Yikes. Like, you got Willie Snead, Miles Boykin, Hollywood Brown, obviously. Hayden Hurst, who I'm sure every Ravens fan loves taking Hayden Hurst in the first round. That was probably, I mean, that's the first time I've seen Ozzie make a bad pick in, like, forever, since, like, Matt Elam sent when he did that. So I will give that to Lamar, but Russell Wilson, MVP. It's okay to admit it. It's okay to admit it.
Lamar's had way too legendary of a season. His second year.
Yeah.
After he, listen, this is why I love Lamar.
And here's the thing. I'll give you your chance in a moment. I know Lamar's going to win because he relates to the people. I can respect that. I'm sure he's a lot of kids' idols right now. Like, they grow up wanting to play like Lamar. Completely understand and respect that. Not here to hate on that. But that's not how I based MVP on. I based MVP on who has the biggest impact to their team. Lamar Jackson, honestly, he'd probably be second place for me. But Russell Wilson's that guy. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the National Football League. He's just the best quarterback. Okay. And by the way, it's crazy. I'll give you a chance in a moment. A year ago, we were having a legit debate.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm going with this. Lamar or Baker? That was a legit debate a year ago. And most people thought Baker. Most people definitely thought Baker, myself included. Old takes exposed. Go ahead.
Okay, versus that Lamar-Baker debate, it's okay to be wrong sometimes.
Of course. I'm wrong. I have to be. I'm wrong occasionally.
But you know how I see Lamar? He's like our savior.
Give me a break.
The Ravens were terrible for years. And then Lamar comes in. Listen.
How do you define terrible, first off? Because right, I can give you the Cleveland Browns, for instance. You need to be respectful. Because you 8-8 is not terrible. The Browns would be craving for an 8-8 season. We haven't been 8-8 since 2010.
All right, we weren't terrible. We were mediocre. We were mid-tier.
You were mediocre for Ratbird standard.
Yeah, I mean, nah, for a league standard, 8-8, that's 500. It's about as even as you can get.
And you just won a Super Bowl not that long ago. Now, 2012, but.
All right, so we get Lamar. You see what I'm saying? We come off like an 8-8 season. He starts halfway through the season, and what happens? He wins 6-game streak.
Mm-hmm.
And then he loses first round of playoffs. Okay, that's understandable. It's his first year. We were decent, but he just came off 6 wins. Then the next year.
Losing to the Chargers, by the way, the Chargers are a hell of a team, 5-11, but go ahead.
All right, then we got next season. We go 2-2, and then we play the Chiefs, lose, and then that's when everything changes. They switch up everything. We were obviously a throwing team in the first half of the league. They wanted to see what Lamar can do, and then something clicked. Boom, let's run the ball.
Yeah.
Let's run the ball. Let's let Lamar run. Let's get the option going.
Be interesting to see if Greg Roman's there next year. Greg Roman, offensive coordinator, fan favorite of Baltimore, interviewed with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I've seen people make a play
job,
for him.
That's the last vacancy open. The Browns have interviewed just about everyone, but I don't as long as the Haslams are there, I'm done. They're the worst owners in the history of sports, not just the NFL, history of sports. They make James Dolan look phenomenal. I mean, at least James Dolan's made the playoffs one time in his career. I mean, imagine having an ownership group. This is not cap. This is facts. The Haslams have only won 25% of their games as Cleveland Browns owners. Oof. They have a record of 99-245.
Oh, my God.
As owners of the Cleveland Browns. They are a disgrace. They are an absolute disgrace. He had to pay over $100 million, by the way, to avoid prison because his company, Pilot J, or Flying J, it's something. It's a pilot company where he made his money, got charged with numerous counts of fraud, which that's Haslam for you. He had to pay over $100 million to get out of prison. And because of that, he won't spend a dime on the Browns. Everyone talks about, oh, the roster's so talented. We still have $30 million in cap space this year that we didn't use, that we did not use at all. And now we're going into the new year. We have 86 in cap, $86 million in cap space.
That's crazy.
A ton with this loaded roster that everyone likes to say.
It's literally loaded.
Loaded.
Y'all have Njoku, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Javaj Lange.
Njoku might not be there next year. We'll see about that. He's been a healthy scratch last couple of weeks. We'll see if he's there. He has a problem with the drops. But $86 million. Those weapons you said. Chubb, who I think is the best running
Chubb
back.
Chubb also.
Who I think is the best running back in the National Football League. Kareem Hunt, although Derrick Henry and McCaffrey would like to say something about that. I would understand those arguments. Kareem Hunt, top 10 back in the National Football League. No debate.
Definitely.
You got two good linemen. Now, the other three need work. Myles Garrett's coming back.
Oh, he's coming back? I did not know that.
Miles Garrett will be happy to hear that. We'll be back next season, week one. Well, it's not official, but that's the expectation around the league. He will be reinstated, ready to go week one. Denzel Ward, top 5, top 10 corner. Top 10, undisputed, top 5, that could be debatable, corner in the league. Joe Schober, top 10 linebacker in the league. And $86 million in cap. And once again, we're going to be fined for the third year in a row. So this is what the NFL does. If you don't spend enough of your cap, you get fined.
That's crazy.
For not reaching the salary cap floor, for being too cheap. The Browns have been fined for that for the last 3 years. So for the fourth year in a row, we're going to be fined for that. And no one knows this because no one cares. Everyone wants to focus on, oh, talent this, talent that. Real Browns fans know the issue. And it's the Haslam family. And until they leave, nothing will change. Nothing. Nothing. I'm done supporting them. You know how I go to games and all that. Nope. Done. I'm not spending my money. These people do not deserve my money.
I don't blame you.
These people do not deserve my money. I will go to road games more than home games. And you know why? Because it won't be in the pockets of the Haslams. It'll be in the pockets of teams that actually deserve it, that run an actual football operation. All right. That's the Browns. They obviously fired Freddie Kitchens last time we were here. New head coach, likely be McDaniels. They are talking to Kevin Stefanski. They've interviewed just about everybody you can think of. I mean, I could run off the list. You guys would tune off if I ran down the whole list. But that's the Browns for you in a nutshell. Redskins hired Ron Rivera. I love the hire. I think the Redskins, and I know that you're not going to agree with this, it's not necessarily going to turn around just like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in 2 to 3 years, especially in the weak NFC East, they got potential. They're going to get Chase Young with the number 2 pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Another year of Haskins. I love Dwayne Haskins, although I do think his attitude needs to be better. It will be under Ron Rivera. Terry McLaurin at receiver. I hope Geis stays healthy, man. But he just can't stay healthy to save his life. They have a solid defense. I think they could be a surprise team next year. I think they can win 6 to 7 games next year. Call me crazy. I know that's not a popular opinion at all. And I think the year after that, they can win the NFC East.
All right, I definitely don't see them winning the NFC East in 2 years, but 6 to 7 games next year, it's not crazy.
I mean, you look at the weapons they're building, and most importantly, what's the issue with the Redskins? It's talk about lack of culture. culture is bad, really bad. And you now hire someone, and Ron Rivera, he took over the Panthers back 9 years ago. I'm not willing to do the math. I think 2011, when the Panthers were 1-15.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute dumpster fire. And took 3 years to turn that dumpster fire around. Playoff, Super Bowl appearance. And then they fall off, obviously. He goes. Cam has his injury issues, which is why I think that happened. But I think with Ron Rivera, they can win some games and make some noise, especially in the weak division. It's a very weak division. It's a division full of scrubs, I like to call it. The Eagles, not a good team. Giants, we'll get into the Giants in a moment. Cowboys, we'll also get into the Cowboys in a moment with their head coaching hire. The door's open. The door's cracked open.
It is.
So I think they could potentially make some noise. Now let's go to Ron Rivera's old team. The Carolina Panthers made some noise hiring Matt Rhule, 7 years, $62 million. The second biggest contract in the NFL, coaching-wise, behind John Gruden. With John Gruden, by the way, wouldn't you love to make 10 years, $100 million for John Gruden?
That's insane. Oh, my gosh.
That is beautiful. I would love to coach for that much. But Matt Rhule, love the hire for Carolina. Takes over a Temple team that never won. Temple is like the college football version of the Browns, right? they're bad every year. They can do whatever they want, but they have a place just to be bad, and they're always bad. 2-12, 10-6. He spent 4 years. 2-12, 7-6, 10-4, 10-3. Leaves for Baylor. Baylor coming off all those Title IX investigations. The school was literally the definition of a dumpster fire. No one wanted to go to Baylor. 1-11 his first year, and that's understandable because no one, so many sanctions. 7-6, obviously this past year with Baylor, 11-3, Sugar Bowl appearance, lose to Georgia. He turns around teams. He wins everywhere he goes. Given time, he wins everywhere he goes. And I think this is also great news for Cam. Because hiring Matt Rhule to me signals they're not ready to give up on Cam Newton. And I think because of that, they are going to be a candidate to maybe not win the NFC South, but maybe snatch one of those AFC wildcard spots depending on moves they make this offseason.
I'm actually happy for the Panthers. I want to see Cam Newton do great. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks.
Why? Skill-wise?
Nah, but just simply because he's a black quarterback. What I'm saying?
Respect.
It's been the era for black QBs. Like, there are a lot of good, well, not even just good, just a lot more black QBs.
Speaking of that, Rooney Rule. 3 black head coaches, 1 black GM. Out of 64 combined jobs, 4 out of 64. Coincidence?
I guess not.
I can't relate to that because obviously I'm not African-American. But it's not the brightest, not the best numbers. I don't think 4 out of 64 is, that's not a high percentage.
Of QBs?
No, of coaches and general managers. 4 out of 64 in the NFL. 2 of them are with the Dolphins.
Sorry, we're making leeway.
So, well, it's not the best look, but that's subject for another day. I like the hire for Carolina, McCaffrey, obviously. I can't wait to see how Matt Rhule uses Christian McCaffrey. That's going to be fun. DJ Moore, local product here at Maryland. Curtis Samuel out of the Ohio State University, the greatest university in the world. Luke Kuechly, linebacker. Shaq Thompson, one of the most underrated players in my opinion. They got some pieces there. I think they can do solid in Carolina. NFC East. Go back to the NFC East. Dallas Cowboys hire Mike McCarthy after letting go Jason Garrett. I think we all agree. Time to see Jason Garrett move on. A lot of people are disappointed because they wanted a flashy name. But I don't necessarily think that's what the Cowboys needed. I think the Cowboys needed exactly Mike McCarthy. a veteran guy, a guy who, wherever he goes, this guy's coached Joe Montana when he was a coordinator with San Francisco, Brett Favre in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. The guy, everywhere he goes, quarterbacks are super successful. I think it's perfect for Dak. Now, the one question mark I have about the hire, Mike McCarthy has never had a top 10 rushing attempts team. They have one of the best running backs in the NFL who gets very impatient if he doesn't get the ball. And that is Ezekiel Elliott. That's the one concern I have. But I like the hire. They're saying he has come rejuvenated, kind of dug in more into analytics. What do you think about the hire? Mike McCarthy. Would you have preferred to see a Lincoln Riley? Or would you think, do you think Mike McCarthy or another name, if you think another name with better
suit
them?
I like the Mike McCarthy hire, especially for the reasons you said for Dak. Like, that's going to be big.
And what about and for me personally, I think Mike McCarthy's a mechanics nerd. He will, if your throwing angle is off by the slightest, he will make sure to get that corrected. He is known to be that type of person. If you haven't seen this, Tom Pelissero, brilliant NFL Network reporter, did a feature on Mike McCarthy about, he has this big laboratory where he spent, after he got fired from the Packers, he's completely learned new concepts, and he's like brought old NFL coaches, pretty much his new staff with the Cowboys, about what we're going to do with this and that, learn together. It's this huge laboratory, and it's pretty neat. It's a feature that I recommend you check out. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, especially if you're a Cowboy fan out there. Great feature. Check it out. I like the hire. Now we'll go to the clown show that is the New York Giants. I'm going to ask you a fair and honest question. Have you heard of Joe Joyce before he got hired?
I haven't. Not at all.
Not many people have heard of Joe Joyce. I was watching First Take, actually, when he got hired. You could tell everyone, no one knew who he was. There's not one person who knew who he was. I don't know much about him. I had to do a lot of background work. All I knew, he was a special teams coordinator and the wide receivers coach for the New England Patriots. That's all I knew about him. And I did background work. He's a Belichick disciple. He started out at Alabama under Saban. What are the Giants doing? What are the Giants doing with this? I mean, I'm sure Joe Judge is a nice human being. But you're talking about New York City, the media capital of the world, right? The New York Giants, one of the proud franchises in the NFL. And all you could get is Joe Judge? Really? I mean, come on, man. Like, that's I don't know, man. I don't know. They needed an offensive guy. They need an offensive guy, in my opinion. Now, I think Kevin Stefanski, Vikings O coordinator, would have been perfect for them. I'm not as high on Josh McDaniels. I think he could fit some places. I think he could have fit in New York a little bit, but I'm not as high on him as others. He would have been okay. I like Stefanski. I like Greg Roman. Greg Roman would have been a great fit in New York. Imagine him, Saquon, with that running attack, how dirty that would be. But Joe Joyce, huh? I mean, you're telling me none of the other guys would have came to New York? What about Joe Judge? It's like, yeah, that's the guy. Now, the Patriots special teams, great unit. He's also the wide receivers coach of the New England Patriots. Outside of Julian Edelman, yikes. N'Keal Harry, I hate declaring first-year players bust. That's the biggest pet peeve of mine. But my goodness, he doesn't know how to run a route. He does not know how to run a route. Jacoby Myers? Huh? I mean, they have nobody. They have nobody in New England who's Philip Dorsett? Indianapolis bust? I don't know. I don't know, man. Am I crazy? Am I overreacting here?
You're not.
I'm not. Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because I can get a little crazy sometimes. I'm not afraid to admit that. But it's like Joe Joyce? Really? Really? I'm sorry, Giants fans, but you're kind of regressing to Cleveland Brown level standard, and I don't think that's something you want. That's not something you want to be a part of. Now, Pat Shurmur had to go. Pat Shurmur is a bad coach. But Joe Joyce? I hate to keep harping on the point, but Joe Joyce. I'll be honest. I might get blasted for this. I didn't know what he looked like. I heard the name before. I knew mm-hmm. what his role was. I had no idea what he looked like. I thought it was some old guy. He's 38 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he was in like his like mid to late 40s.
He's 38 years old. He's young. He's working on his PhD in physical education. That's the Giants head coach. That's
interesting.
Very interesting route. That's the NFL coaching carousel. When we come back to you next week here, the Cleveland Browns are expected to name their head coach. I'm so looking forward to talking about that. Not just get our hopes up every year. This is what they do. They get your hopes up every year. And then they do this press conference guaranteeing, oh, well, the ups and downs end today. It's the same cycle. It's the same stupid cycle that happens every year. And whatever. Well, so for next week, we will get into the Browns. We will also react to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. And will Andre Drummond be traded by the Pistons? Rumors leaking out here that the Pistons are looking to move Andre Drummond, all-star center, gives you 20 and 20 nightly. We will discuss that next week here on the Benchwarmers Redemption. But before we leave you, it's time for pick'ems. Kelly, you are new to this segment. It's pretty much who do you think's going to win the game?
Bet.
Vikings Niners. By the way, my record, I forgot my journal, but I have my picks remembered. My record, 103-55 on the year. So, just for information, just for you want to, I win you money in Vegas. That's how I like to view it. Except when I bet with him. Except when I bet with Kelly about the Ratbirds. That's another discussion for another day. Niners, Vikings, San Francisco hosting. Who do you got?
All right, I got, I guess a Niners win.
Niners, I'm taking.
I can't see the Vikings pulling
through. I'm taking the Niners as well. I'm not even going to ask you about the next game. You're all repped out. You know Ravens are going to win. I know that's what he thinks. They're going to win by default because they play the bleeping Titans. This is why I wanted the Patriots to win, by the way. It's not because I wanted them to lose eventually, but I wanted them to win so that way you guys had to play an actual team next round. So you get it. You guys have two bye weeks. If y'all lose to the Titans, you know you're going to hear from me.
I won't talk no trash until game one of the Ravens.
You're
going to
hear from me. All right. And the other AFC wildcard game, I think this is the game of the week. Houston traveling to Kansas City. Watson versus Mahomes.
That game's about to be so interesting. Oh, my God.
Who do you got?
I don't know. I might got the Chiefs, because the only thing about the Chiefs, they can just score at any moment.
They can score at any moment. I'm taking the Chiefs as well. Seahawks at the Packers.
I got to go with the Packers. I'm sorry. I just see the Packers in the Super Bowl.
First disagreement. I'm taking Seattle. I was talking about earlier how I doubt they could put a full 60-minute game together. I have bigger doubts that the Green Bay Packers can. And I'm going to tell you why. Yes, they're 13-3. They play down to the level of their competition. They almost lost to the Lions to end the season. They almost lost to the Redskins at home. They've been very up and down. Very up and down. I think they're going to lose. Last but not least, national championship game. Clemson, LSU.
I don't know. I think I'm going to take LSU.
I agree. I think LSU, and I only think LSU because they're home, and Ed Orgeron is my idol. I love Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron is my guy. Talk about who I want to be the next Browns coach. Ed Orgeron, come to Cleveland. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and with me today
is Kelly Irvin.
And until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.